Is it possible to tokenize and decentralize the physical world? And if so, how does it work? And what projects are already on the front lines of this effort? Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Decentralized with Cointelegraph podcast. I'm your host, Savannah Fortis, and today we're going to be answering all those questions and more in a special interview with Leo, the co-founder of the Peak Network in Dubai at the Token 2049 conference. We're going to be diving deeper into a corner of Web3 known as DePINs, or Decentralized Physical Infrastructure Networks, to better understand the buzz around this revolutionary technology and its role in creating bridges between the physical and digital worlds. In simplest terms, DePINs create a network for physical things that allows users to contribute their physical resources to a pool that essentially cuts out the middleman for physical resources. These networks are run on top of a blockchain and use tokens or cryptocurrencies for transactions, making everything transparent and accounted for. Users who then contribute their resources to the DePIN network are also rewarded with special tokens for helping out. The idea of DePINs, or even just pins, has been around for years. However, thanks to decentralized technologies and the emergence of new networks with the capacity to scale massive infrastructure projects, this has set the industry ablaze with activity and innovation. Some industry insiders have even called DePINs one of this decade's most important crypto investments. And at the forefront of this niche is the Peak Network, a layer one blockchain which features decentralized IDs with the Polkadot ecosystem, Cosmos, Solana, and Binance Smart Chain, and is bridged to dozens of blockchains through its integration with Wormhole. Leonard Dorlüchte, the co-founder of the Peak Network, and his team at Peak have been active with dozens of startups creating innovative DePIN projects that are now being deployed all over the world. Welcome, Leo, and thank you for joining us. We're so excited to have you today and to be here in Dubai and to witness some of the exciting things Peak has in store for the Web3 space.
Thanks so much for having me, Savannah.
I'd like to begin by hearing a bit more about your background and how you came into the DePIN space and ultimately what led up to your role as co-founder of Peak.
Yeah, so it's been late 2016, where one of my co-founders, Till, he told me, so we both moved to Berlin independently from each other and coming from Western Germany. And I studied business informatics. And then at some point, we both saw we're in Berlin and we met for coffee. And then he told me about Ethereum and the potential to run applications in a decentralized manner. And that was completely fascinating. And it was then in 2017, where we stumbled upon IOTA, who were also in Berlin. We had that vision of a machine economy and we were like, wow, machines in Germany, there are a lot of car manufacturers, Bosch, all those devices. We're like, this is actually meaningful application of that technology. We then tried to build things with that. We then realized, okay, that the technology didn't work as promised and also wasn't as scalable yet as it would have needed to be to really build machine economy use cases. And we then decided to focus on enterprise blockchain cases with a special focus on IoT. So between 2018 and 2021, we've built a blockchain IoT enterprise studio where we work with Fortune 500 companies such as Audi and the Volkswagen Group on use cases such as decentralized charging. And this was effectively the first time that started in 2019 where this concept of a DePIN came up for us, because Audi was saying the charging infrastructure is super fragmented and we want private charging stations to be able to be connected to the or available to the public. So essentially a people-powered charging network. And we've built that. However, as we all know, enterprise blockchains don't really make sense because they don't disrupt anything because they're not public and permissionless. However, in those years, we learned a lot about IoT blockchain use cases. We understood they all have more or less the same functionalities that they need on the back end. And that led us then to start building Peak as we know it today, late 2021.
So we've heard a little bit about what DePINs are, but I'm curious if you could highlight for listeners the difference between a DePIN with its decentralized aspect and a traditional PIN and their benefits and perhaps even if there are any drawbacks.
Yeah, I think to really see the difference and the advantages, telco is probably a good example. So traditional telecommunication networks are built by big telco companies. Maybe when you walk through a city, you see those big things on top of the roofs, which are 4G or 5G networks. And there's a big telco with 10 billion of budget and rents places on top of houses and installs those massive networks. So this is how traditional telecommunication works today and has been so far. And that makes a lot of sense. However, what if you now go to the people and say, hey, you have already space living in New York, you know, you have some room, that space next to your window, you could place a hotspot there, a 5G hotspot, for example, and provide connectivity around you. And then you use the internet you have at home anyway as a backbone for that connectivity. So now you can incentivize private individuals to use the space they have already, providing a hotspot there. And suddenly you bootstrap a people-powered telco network. And the beauty there is that doesn't cost tens of billions because the people have already the space, right? They need to invest some money into the hardware and everyone is responsible for the maintenance themselves. In a telco case, they hire a big, big group of people that install the hardware, that maintain the hardware. They need to pay a lot of money to rent the right spots in order to install them. And in the deepened model, you can flip it around, make it people powered, and then also enable everyone to earn from telecommunication and not just a few big companies. And yeah, I think this example is really a strong highlight of how you can bootstrap a deeper network. It's much less capital intense than traditional infrastructure building. And it's much fairer because everyone can participate, not just a few big companies.
We are already building this world as we're part of the Web3 world ourselves. And we see it coming to life behind the scenes. And, you know, Peak is really making a huge effort in this space. And so I'm just curious, you did walk us through our real world examples of DPINs and perhaps, you know, DPINs that are being deployed on the Peak network.
Absolutely. Yeah. So one use case that is super low barrier to entry, literally just downloading an app, is Silencio. Like, you can go to the App Store or Google Store and download that app and start measuring noise pollution all around the world. Because noise pollution is a big health issue that many people are not aware of, right? They're health noise sensitive individuals. And this is a data set that is really, really valuable. And with Silencio, you can simply download the app and start contributing and earn rewards for that. And you can scale that up to other data that can be generated on a smartphone, which is on Silencio's roadmap. This is one really cool, easy to enter use case. Another one is, for example, Eloop. They have started by tokenizing a fleet of Teslas in Vienna, where they allow their community to invest in a car sharing fleet. Thereby, the community contributes capital. And in return, every time a car sharing session generates revenue, the community earns from that. And of course, there is a bit more maintenance, insurance, and so on involved. So there's a bit more centralization there. However, you can decentralize the revenue and the funding of those big, big machines. And, you know, if we think into the future, fleets of robotaxis that are community owned and communities can earn from robotaxis instead of just, again, big companies earning all the money.
Absolutely. And here on the ground in Dubai, I've had the opportunity to speak to a couple different DPIN projects in the Peak booth who have been really excited to share what they're working on. And honestly, it's been exciting to hear from them and to see more real world use cases being brought to life through DPINs. So let's hear from a couple of them now.
Okay, so Ex Machina is a DPIN of autonomous tokenized robots. What we're looking at here at the booth is the first tokenized robo cafe. So people purchasing coffees right now from this autonomous machine are earning from the revenue. Essentially, it's machine combined with DeFi. So you kind of get a, users get a share of the revenue produced by this asset right here live at Token 2049.
And is it just coffee or are there other things?
Yeah, so this machine is actually also serving ice cream. Yeah, there's different models, and this model can be applied to any autonomous machine. And you can think of Ex Machina as a launch pad for all these type of smart machines and autonomous robots.
So Wingbits is a decentralized flight tracking network. And the reason we built it is that most people don't understand that the entire aviation industry runs on volunteer data. And these companies are making hundreds of millions a year while the providers in the community make nothing. And we thought this is a perfect use case for blockchain. So what we do is we aggregate the flight data globally. We sell it, and then we share half the revenue back with the community as rewards based on the contribution. We were fairly new. We launched 4 months ago, but we actually signed our first enterprise customer last week. So we're growing about 2,000%. So we're 65 countries, 2.5 billion position updates per day. And we have some cool updates coming up with the testnet launching sometime in May, and then hopefully mainnet Q3, Q4.
So I'm Ali Reza, co-founder, CEO at Natix. And what we're building with Natix is a decentralized geospatial data network. So our product, which a lot of people might have heard of it, is a smartphone application. You just download the application, you put the phone on the dashboard of your car. As you're driving around, the AI works on your phone to detect what the AI is trained to detect. For example, traffic congestions, potholes, collisions. And this data essentially leaves your smartphone and you actually earn reward. And we use this data later on to improve maps, to provide better mobility services, the smart city services like maintenance and so on. And yeah, so we already have around 100,000 registered users all around the world. And we're using a lot of DeepIn components of Peak. For example, machine ID. We are actually integrating machine ID. So every app user in our platform, they have this unique identity on blockchain. And this way, it's kind of step one for us to validate what they're doing and the integrity of their data and activities and so on. Yeah, so what I think Peak guys are doing differently and did differently is they try to also bet on projects and attract projects that are specifically scalable, you know. So they have, I think, two of the strongest smartphone deepins, because you can have also hardware deepins, right, where you have to buy a hardware and you plug it into your car or you put it somewhere or, you know, you have this upfront cost to buy the hardware. That's one way of doing it. And then we have commodity deepin or smartphone deepin where you can just use the existing device that you have. And I think Peak guys are especially strong on this aspect, which is, you know, it's all about scalability at the end of the day. I think this angle that they brought into the game, which before that, I think, you know, not many people were doing, and they started to become the home. So, I mean, what I'm trying to say with that is they, for example, we started working with them and we said, okay, how can we make machine ID as easily integratable for smartphones, right? For iOS and Android. And this is something that we did together, and a lot of other, let's say, founders, they started to come in and they found this so handy that they started to, you know, use Peak, not Natix. And I think this is what I see Peak guys are doing different. So they're a little bit ahead of the narrative and they try to always do things differently than what the industry maybe is.
Given that these projects are ambitiously, but also realistically anticipating onboarding as many users as possible, can you touch a little bit on the scalability needed to deploy such projects and how Peak tackles that, basically?
Totally. Yeah, scalability is super, super important, right? Like there are a few things, which is low transaction fees, right? It needs to be feasible, especially machine and sensor communication. There are millions and billions of transactions coming, which need to be handled. And then in terms of scalability, we chose a part of doing that in a modular way. So with Polkadot 2.0, there are a few things coming out, which are technical, but agile core time, elastic scaling, that allows a layer one like ourselves to basically scale up and down the throughput as needed. That means theoretically, Peak can scale and do the hundreds of thousands of transactions per second with the amazing work that the team around Gavin Wood has been doing. And those releases are coming out soon. And all of that while being super decentralized and censorship resistant, because the Nakamoto coefficient, what's a number that defines the decentralization of Polkadot, is the highest among all the major ecosystems.
And with such large networks full of eager users and their data, data security must be a large topic in the industry at large. So what are the privacy implications users should anticipate when using DeepIns? And if there are measures in place already to prevent DeepIn theft or misuse?
Absolutely. So the beauty is, you can design a DeepIn in a way that, for example, there's no clear data stored in an immutable way. Everything is encrypted. So the data, if it's stored in a decentralized way, can be fully encrypted and only the owner of the data can actually read the data. Then there are also ways to store it in a more closed system. A lot of people do that still. However, they store a hash of the data on chain to verify its authenticity. So there are different models, and it's being explored also currently, like what are the best, there are zero knowledge proofs, there are things like confidential computing. So what is currently emerging is really a toolbox for privacy in Web3. So people will be able to use dApps on blockchains in a fully privacy preserving manner without needing to worry about the data. Even the opposite, they own and control the data and no one else. And that is beautiful. It's emerging. It's being solved.
So what are the regulatory hurdles that the DePIN space specifically is up against, just generally? And then also perhaps when it comes even to the tokens that are associated with different projects, and if those are subject to regulations, if users need to be weary of something, if upcoming projects need to be weary of something.
Yeah, so I guess, as usual, the US is most complicated when it comes to that. So there are quite a few DePINs who have issues with users in the US because they can't simply receive tokens as rewards. So that is definitely the most difficult market. And I know a lot of DePINs are kind of shipping around it and trying to avoid it. Good thing is in Europe, regulations are coming up with MiCA and so on. So I would say the regulations we need for DePIN are pretty much also the ones we need for the rest of Web3, because we have ultimately utility tokens and we have security tokens. And those are also used within DePINs and regulated in certain ways. So we're pretty optimistic. And of course, it always depends on the local place. We're pretty optimistic everywhere. The US needs some work. However, also there with the right partners and licenses, you can build up setups where those things become possible in a fully compliant way, because the company has built up the legal setup that allows US people to invest into DePINs and earn from them without running the risks. So that is being worked, and we're having partners we're doing that together with.
And when you look at the sector of Web3, how do you see DePINs evolving in the near future? So I'm curious what you think, you know, will be some more catalysts for even further adoption for DePINs, and if it's going to be coffee serving robots.
Yeah, I think it's exciting. We can say crypto is finally getting real, because there are for the first time real world tangible use cases that make sense and that users can use and contribute that are have never used a wallet before, right? Let's take Silencio as an example. That's how we onboard the masses. That's how we, you know, electric vehicle charging. Every EV driver needs that. Everyone needs car sharing, taxis, and so on. Those are the use cases where the real economic value is being created and where all the users are. So I think as a space, we're now finally leaving this, you know, closed circle that we've been in for a long time, where it's a lot about DeFi, for example, NFTs. And of course, the community grows a bit, but it doesn't grow to the billions of users. And I think, or we think at peak, that DePIN really now has the chance to bring in billions of users that don't even realize they use a blockchain in the background. And yeah, in terms of use cases, I mean, we're here, we have that tokenized RoboCafe. That is definitely one amazing use case where anyone can own a share in a revenue generating autonomous RoboCafe that is taking some barista's job, but it doesn't matter because the barista can own a share in the cafe now and earn passively.
And you know, I don't think we can have this conversation about the future of DePINs without mentioning AI, which has penetrated every industry around the world, including Web3, including DePINs. And even earlier in the year, we had a brief conversation on the topic during which, if I remember correctly, you even called them a power duo.
Yeah.
I'm just curious if you could also elaborate a little bit more on AI's place in the DePIN world.
Absolutely. Yeah, so DePIN is a powerful tool for AI, right? We have AI now very centralized, and that works super well. I mean, many Web2 things work super well. However, if we look into the future and we have a world that's run on AI, we might want to know how those models work, who is running them, and how they've been run, right? So for example, you can use a blockchain to run AI trustlessly. That means you can verify the model, the type, and what happened. And I'm pretty certain government's gonna demand that at some point with regulation in terms of AI, because otherwise it runs somewhere behind closed doors and we have no clue what's happening. So that is a great use case. Or you can incentivize people to create AI models, right? There are projects that do that already. So you can incentivize intelligence creation basically and not have that at a centralized company only, or data collection. Right? AI needs a lot of data. And now with the DeepN model, you can incentivize people to collect data and contribute that to an AI model. And then, of course, GPUs, right? AI needs a lot of computing power. So you can crowdsource that computing power and run it usually much, much cheaper than centralized service provider would charge for that. So there are many great synergies. And yeah, that's really about incentivizing people to contribute to AI or the operations of AI, the safety of it, the governance, decentralization.
So as we wrap it all up, I'm eager to hear what you guys have in store, what Peak has in store over the next couple of months, the next year, what you guys are up to, what you see in your near future.
Yeah, so the most exciting upcoming thing is our mainnet launch. We've been building for a long time now. We've done a lot of groundwork, building up all that ecosystem, made the product very mature. And now finally launching it is amazing. And that is around the corner in this quarter. No, yeah, in this quarter. It's already Q2. Yeah. Crazy how the time flies. And yeah, community sale will also happen. That's exciting for the community. And yeah, so those are the main big things. And then of course, we're looking forward to scaling the network in production with all the projects, and the market cycle looks promising.
Definitely.
And it's going to be an exciting rest of the year.
Leo, thank you so much for joining us today. It was an absolute pleasure to pick your brain on everything DeepN's and how this technology could might simply change our lives. This has been another episode of Decentralized with Cointelegraph. Thank you so much for joining us on yet another insightful conversation uncovering the Web3 space. If you're interested in learning more about the Peak Network, check out their website or find them on social media at Peak Network. Also, check out some of the many articles we've published here on Cointelegraph on the topic of DeepN's, including a couple with some of the fascinating use cases already mentioned in this episode. Once again, thank you so much for tuning in to Decentralized with Cointelegraph. Make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode, and we'll see you in the next one.